Our Old Testament lesson today comes from 2 Samuel chapter 12, if you'd like to join along in your own Bible or a pew Bible. 2 Samuel 12, we'll be looking at the first seven verses. Before we read God's word, though, let's go to him once again in prayer. Let us pray. Most gracious God, our Father, in whom alone dwells all fullness of light and wisdom, we pray this morning that you would illuminate our minds and hearts by your Holy Spirit in the true understanding of your holy word. Father, we pray that you would give us grace to receive it with reverence, humility, and faith. Grant, Father, that it may lead us to put our whole trust in you alone and so faithfully serve you that we may serve our neighbor and glorify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. 2 Samuel 12. And the Lord sent Nathan to David. He came to him and said to him, "There were two men in a certain city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had very many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing but one little ewe lamb, which he had bought. And he brought it up, and it grew up with him and with his children. It used to eat of his morsel and drink from his cup and lie in his arms. And it was like a daughter to him. Now there came a traveler to the rich man, and he was unwilling to take one of his own flock or herd to prepare for the guest who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. Then David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, 'As the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity.' Nathan said to David, 'You are the man.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7. We're continuing our study. We for a few months now, well, since the beginning of the year, we've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount found in Matthew's Gospel, chapters 5, 6, and 7. We're winding that study down. We have just a couple of weeks left in looking at the Sermon on the Mount. We're in chapter 7. We'll be looking at the first 12 verses. Hear the words of our Lord Jesus. "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give to dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Judge not. These are words spoken by Jesus to his disciples. Jesus speaks these words to his followers, to those who were seated around him up on the mountain. Judge not. These are challenging words. These are demanding words, but these are also words that have been used and abused, twisted and confused down the years. Judge not. So what's Jesus teaching here? What is Jesus commanding here? Well, first of all, let's go ahead and be clear about what he's not teaching. We'll start off with what he's not teaching. Jesus is not teaching a permissive tolerance. That's what he's not teaching. Jesus is not teaching that his followers, that Christians, cannot and should not discern or weigh or value or pronounce. He's not teaching that we should simply let people be to do what they want and how they want and when they want without discerning whether or not it's proper or wise, or faithful, or pleasing to God. Now, such an understanding, such an interpretation, which is popular today and has been popular for a number of years, it's used kind of like dynamite for a conversation. And here's what I mean by dynamite. It's like you're having a conversation. Well, have you ever played the game Rock, Paper, Scissors? Good old rock, paper, scissors. I remember when I was young playing rock, paper, scissors, and I remember the first time somebody pulled out dynamite. You remember that? When you're playing rock, paper, scissors, and all of a sudden somebody goes, you're like, what is that? And they're like, it's dynamite. Dynamite gets everything. Dynamite wins every time. Dynamite blows it all up. So you using judge not is like, it's like dynamite in a conversation. You could be having a conversation and having back and forth, and you're talking about an issue, or you're talking about a behavior, or you're talking about a political issue, and all of a sudden somebody says, judge not. It's like dynamite. Ends the conversation. Blows it up. Well, such an understanding, such an interpretation, as popular as it might be, it's dismissed by the context of this passage itself. Now, listen again to verse 6. Listen to verse 6. Jesus says, do not give to dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Well, Jesus says, don't give dogs sacred things. And by dogs, Jesus isn't talking about Fido. He's not talking about your beloved pet. He's talking about scavengers. He's talking about mongrels. He's talking about wild dogs. He says, don't give pigs valuable things. What Jesus is saying here, he's saying there may be instances, there may be situations, there may be individuals that you come across where holy things, where valuable things should be withheld. Be that the gospel, be that godly counsel, be that truth, or be that prayer. Now, Jesus, as far as dogs and pigs, Jesus might be, he's probably referring to those who have heard the gospel, they've heard the good news of Jesus, but they not only reject it outright, but they also hold it in contempt and scorn it. But, and here's the point of this, but recognizing dogs and pigs requires judgment and discernment. Judge not. So then, what does Jesus mean? We've said what he doesn't mean. What does Jesus mean? Well, through these words, judge not, Jesus is speaking against a self-righteous spirit. He's speaking against a condemning spirit. He's speaking against a hypercritical spirit. He's speaking against a spirit that criticizes and scrutinizes and excoriates and nitpicks and finds fault and condemns in the heart, in thoughts, and through words. When Jesus says, judge not, he's saying, don't examine those around you under a fault-finding microscope. When Jesus says, judge not, he's saying, don't demand perfection by those around you. When Jesus says, judge not, he's saying, don't pronounce Don't pronounce those around you heaven or hell bound based on what you see. Judge not. Now, if we're honest this morning, and this is a good place to be honest. If we're honest this morning, we're all guilty of this. We're all guilty. We've all done it more than once. We have all criticized and scrutinized and excoriated and nitpicked and found fault and condemned actions and behaviors and words and gestures and motions and clothing and hairstyles and personality traits of people that we know and of people we have absolutely nothing to do with. Both. And it often leads to gossip. You've probably known people that talk about other people, or maybe you've known people who know people who talk about other people. Maybe that. But you know, one of the end results of this, one of the end results of this hypercritical spirit, of this condemning spirit, one of the end results is that we end up feeling pretty good about ourselves. We exalt ourselves at the expense of those around us. But Jesus says, judge not. Why? Jesus says, judge not that you be not judged. Jesus is saying, if you criticize, if you scrutinize, if you excoriate, if you nitpick, if you find fault, if you condemn with a self-righteous spirit, a condemning spirit, a hypercritical spirit, Jesus says, then you're going to be judged. You're going to be judged. In fact, Jesus tells you how you're going to be judged. Look at verse 2 again. Look at verse 2. Jesus says, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. In other words, Jesus is saying, how you judge others, how you measure others, that's how you're going to be judged. That's how you're going to be measured. If you examine under a fault-finding microscope, if you demand perfection, if you pronounce someone heaven or hell-bound based on what you see, Jesus says what's going to be done to you by the Lord. By the Lord. Well, Jesus also gives an illustration. He gives a picture of what our self-righteous, condemning, hypercritical spirit looks like. He does so in verse 3. Listen to verse 3 again. Jesus says, why do you see the speck that's in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Jesus is saying that the fault we see in another, it's a speck. It's a splinter. A piece of sawdust. The point is that it's ridiculous to call attention to a splinter when you have a log or a beam sticking out of your own eye. What Jesus is saying is you can't even see clearly. If you got a log sticking out of your own eye, you can't even see clearly. Now the problem is, and Jesus knows this well because Jesus knows the human heart. Jesus knows your heart. The problem is, when we judge, we tend to judge in our own favor, don't we? When we judge, we'll tend to judge in our own favor. We will be, most of the time, we will be for us. I'm going to be for me. We're going to be for us. We will condemn the struggles of others. We will condemn the faults of others while we ourselves have the same struggles. The same faults, and perhaps worse than the person we're condemning. Now, our Old Testament reading was a perfect example of this picture Jesus gives us. In 2 Samuel, we read a part of a conversation between Nathan, who was a prophet of God, and David. David the king, David the shepherd, David the musician, David the giant slayer, David who was a man after God's own heart, but David who also had many failings. David, who was a sinful man. David, who broke God's law. Now the chapter 11, the chapter right before our reading, in chapter 11 of 2 Samuel, it describes how David committed adultery with Bathsheba. He committed adultery with her, and a pregnancy resulted from this act. Now, in an attempt to cover up the sin, David tried to cover it up. And as David tried to cover up the sin, he also becomes guilty of murder. So not only guilty of committing adultery, he becomes guilty of murder. He has Bathsheba's husband killed in battle. And then he just can jump right in as a good guy, marrying a widow of one of his soldiers, and cover up what he'd done. Well, the Lord knew what David did. The Lord knew David's sin. And the Lord sent Nathan, the prophet, to confront David's sin. And Nathan confronts David's sin through a story. He tells David a story about a rich man and a poor man. And he says the poor man had nothing but a lamb. And he loved this lamb. And he raised this lamb. And he raised it from birth. And he cared for it. And he treated it like a child, like one of his own daughters. And Nathan said, there was a rich man in the same city, and he had flocks of sheep, and he had herds of sheep. However, when a traveler came through and he was staying with the rich man, this rich man would not give up one of his sheep to feed the traveler. Instead, he took that poor man's lamb, he slaughtered it, and he prepared it as a meal for the traveler. And upon hearing this story, upon hearing this tale, the King David became angry. He became incensed. He cried out, "The man who did this has no pity. He deserves death." And Nathan says, "You're the man. You're the man." David saw the speck in the rich man's eye, and he didn't see the log in his own eye. He saw the bit of sawdust in the rich man's eye, and he didn't see the beam sticking out of his own eye. Well, Jesus says this. Listen to verse 5 again. Jesus says, "You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Take the log out of your own eye, and then you can see. You'll be able to see to take the speck out of your brother's eye." So you see, Jesus allows discernment. He allows pronouncement. He allows judgment. He even allows you to confront and offer aid to your brothers and your sisters concerning the specks in their eyes. That's what Nathan, the prophet, was doing to David. He was doing that. But Jesus says, only after self-examination. Only after reflection, only after looking in the mirror. And in the book of James, James says that God's word is like a mirror. Only after looking at God's word and seeking God's aid to see our own sins, to see our faults, to see the logs that are sticking out of our eye. Then, Jesus says, then when you do that, then you can approach a brother or a sister about their splinter. You can do it then. Well, but here's a good question. What do we do about the logs in our own eye? What do we do about our faults? What do we do about our sins? How do we see them? How do we recognize them? And once we see it, once we recognize it, once we understand our blindness, how do we remove it? How are we able to clearly see? Well, listen to Jesus in verse 7. Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." Jesus says, ask, seek, knock. The one who is judge is also your Father. The one who is judge is also your Father. Through faith in the crucified and resurrected Jesus, you are a child of God. You're a loved child of God, one who has been shown mercy. Jesus Christ was judged in your place. Jesus Christ took your logs, your faults, your sin, and he stood before the judge in your place, and he was found guilty. He received the punishment that you deserved. He received death and hell, and in return, he gives you innocence. The judge pronounces you innocent because of Jesus. forgiven because of Jesus, freed because of Jesus. Rejoice in what Christ has done for you. But that does not mean that sin is no longer present in your life. It doesn't mean that you no longer have logs sticking out of your eyes, blinding you. But Jesus says, ask, seek, and knock. A simple prayer with simple words. Now, these three words aren't, that doesn't mean they're different levels of prayer. You start with asking and seeking and then go to knocking. There are three ways of saying the same thing. Jesus is showing repetition here. What Jesus is doing is calling to persistence in prayer. He's calling to perseverance in prayer. He's saying, keep praying, continue to pray, pray without ceasing, ask, seek, and knock. Ask the Father to show you your logs that you can't see. Ask the Father to show you your faults and your sins that you don't recognize. Seek the Father that he might reveal them to you. Reveal them to you through his word or through others in your life. Knock, that the Father might remove the log, that he might remove that beam from your eye. Ask for forgiveness. Seek God's mercy. Knock for grace. And Jesus says this, if you ask, you'll receive. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, it will be open to you. Why? Because the Father gives good gifts to his children. That's why. He gives good gifts to you. He gives good things to you. Now, notice that Jesus doesn't say the Father gives all things to his children. He doesn't give everything to his children. He doesn't say the Father gives you what you want. Ask for whatever you want for. He doesn't say that. The Father gives you good things because the Father knows what you need even more than you do. He knows the good you need. If you ask for good, the Father's not going to give you evil. Jesus says this. He says, hey, if you're a father and your child asks you for bread, you're not going to give him a stone. If you're a father and your child asks you for fish, you're not going to give him a snake. He says, if that's true of earthly fathers, how much more true with your heavenly Father? He gives you good things, which is why he does not give you everything you ask for. He doesn't give you everything you ask for. He doesn't always give you what you seek or knock for. Sometimes the door is closed. And if the door is closed, you can thank God for it, knowing that he is only going to give you good things. Only good things. Ask, seek, knock. And when the Lord shows you your log, and when the Lord removes the log from your eye, you can see. You can see clearly. You can see yourself clearly. You can see others around you clearly. And here's what will happen. You won't judge. You won't criticize. You won't scrutinize. You won't excoriate. You won't nitpick. You won't find fault. You won't condemn with the self-righteous spirit, with the condemning spirit, with the hypercritical spirit. Why? Because that is not how you've been judged by the Father. That's why. You haven't been judged that way by the Father. The Father's poured out his mercy on you in Jesus Christ. And once you experience that and realize that, then you too, you can discern humbly. You can judge with mercy and forgiveness as you see the speck in your brother or sister's eye. And wouldn't you want the same? Wouldn't you want the same? Don't you want to be treated with mercy by those around you? And if somebody finds fault in you, if somebody sees a speck in your eye, don't you want them to approach you humbly and to approach you out of love? Of course. And Jesus says this in verse 12. Jesus says, so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also for them. For this is the law and the prophets. And this, of course, is the golden rule. It's a summary of the law. It's a summary of the prophets. Jesus says, this is how you're supposed to live. And it's proactive. It's not negative. It's not, hey, don't do unto others what you don't want them to do to you. I mean, that's a little easier. You can just kind of kick back. If nobody's doing it to me, I'm not going to do it to anybody. But Jesus says, no, you got to do what you want others to do to you. You go do to them. It's proactive. So Jesus would have you ask yourself this. Well, how would I want to be treated in that situation? How would I want somebody to talk to me if I were in that same situation? If I were in a position like that, how would I want someone to approach me? How would I want someone to confront me and then go do it? And then go do it. But don't just do it on your own. Ask the Father to help you. Seek the Father's wisdom and knock. Because your Father will give you the good things that you ask. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, that through him we are your children, your beloved. Father, we ask, we seek, we knock. We pray, Father, that you would help us, that you would remove logs from our eyes, that you would allow us to be able to see and see clearly. We pray, Father, that you would remove from us any hypercritical, self-righteous spirit of judgment, and that you would enable us to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. Father, we ask that, we seek that, and we knock. And we do so in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.